Good morning. It's really nice to join you with a natural practice podcast. This morning, I've got the pleasure of talking again with Dr. Ruth Dyson about lifestyle medicine. Ruth, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you very much for chatting to me this morning.
You're really welcome. And I know today we've got a really interesting topic around lifestyle medicine. I'd just like to find out from you what it means.
Brilliant. Well, I guess lifestyle medicine, it's a term that is being used a bit more now, but actually it's something that we've been doing forever, really. It's taking a holistic approach and actually looking at health, not just as a disease process, but actually looking at all of those background determinants of health as well as disease. So, you know, health is not the absence of disease, it's actually a lot more than that. So lifestyle medicine is breaking that down and understanding that a lot of current diseases, sort of chronic diseases that we see, sort of diabetes, hypertension, vascular disease, they all actually come from an often similar baseline. And a lot of people understand that a lot of those lifestyle factors, say smoking, affects, you know, increases your risk of many diseases. And so it's looking at actually what are those determinants of health and how can we address those to improve our overall health and improve and in fact sometimes reverse a number of chronic diseases. There are pillars of lifestyle medicine, so six pillars of lifestyle medicine, looking at nutrition and diet, exercise, or perhaps a better term is physical activity that we do. Looking at sleep, I think sleep is often underestimated as having an impact in a lot of chronic health conditions. We look at mental well-being and reducing stress. So, you know, there's this idea of mental health and physical health being separate that was sort of built up, but actually the two are very closely intertwined. So looking at that factor. I mentioned about smoking. So another pillar is reducing harmful substances generally. So that might be smoking, it might be alcohol, sort of toxins that you're exposed to. And another really important pillar that I guess we're not always so aware of in Western medicine is actually the importance of healthy relationships and social connectedness. I don't think many people, when they go to see their GP, would think about, you know, talking about their level of social connection as a risk factor for disease. But there's a lot of evidence to say that the degree of social connectedness for a person actually has a big impact on their, you know, on their lifespan, even, you know, on their risks of mortality. So lifestyle medicine is looking at all of those pillars and using evidence. So it's evidence based, and then building a personalized plan of support for an individual to improve their health, to improve their well-being, rather than just, you know, to treat one aspect of one disease.
I really like, thank you for such clarity, Ruth, about what it is, but also the six pillars. And I really hear that you're saying, in a way, we've been working like this, perhaps at the natural practice and in a holistic approach for a long time. But what I'm also hearing is you're giving permission for a much wider spectrum of inquiry into a patient's well-being and their six pillars. Could you maybe say a little bit more about what might that actually look like for someone coming to you, exploring, you know, wanting to explore lifestyle medicine?
I guess a lot of people do have an understanding that factors from their lifestyle might be impacting on their current state of health. But it's very difficult to take a step back and sort of reflect about exactly what it is that really for you is contributing to that. And to, I guess, have that space to reflect and understand the impact of stress, perhaps, or, you know, what impact difficult sleeping might be having on your health. So really having a chance to explore the six pillars and how they're affecting your health, how you're experiencing your health or disease condition at the moment. And then looking at, as I said, it's a personalized approach. So what what evidence-based approach can we use to improve your health and well-being? So initially it is, you know, about taking a history, getting an understanding, some clinical examination of blood pressure, weight, height, those sorts of things. And then it's putting that all together. We might consider some testing. So for some people, it might be appropriate to check their cholesterol level or to look perhaps at their gut function, those sorts of things. And then bring that all together to create a health and well-being plan. And I guess the important thing, I mean, a lot of people understand that, you know, there are healthy lifestyle changes that would be helpful for them, but how to then put that into practice. And I think it can feel overwhelming to think, oh, there's all of these things that I should be doing for my health, but actually I'm stuck in a really stressful job and that's having an impact, and it's that knock-on effect. So even very small and simple changes, you know, setting aside 5 minutes a day for something can have a big impact on health and well-being. And often we see this ripple effect, you know, so if you make a small change and feel a bit better, then you might find that motivation to change other aspects of your life.
Absolutely. One good habit sort of enables
another. Yeah. And part of the lifestyle medicine training that I'm doing is around sort of supporting people with behavioral change, and that sort of coaching and various different approaches. So there's techniques called motivational interviewing, or looking at what stage in that stages of change are they, and how to support them in moving forwards with that. So it's not someone telling you what to do or, you know, judging your lifestyle choices. It's very much enabling you to start to make those changes that can be helpful, but in a very supportive way.
I really hear that, and I get the sense, but I want to check out with you, Ruth. It sounds like, you know, this isn't a sort of one-off meeting consultation that you might have, but a much more ongoing journey between you and the patient. And I really hear it's not just about diagnostics, but it's about supporting that person to start to implement the best possible shifts. And I wondered, I mean, even if it may not be possible, but do you have a sense of like time frame? Like, is this something over which you'd be supporting someone for a few months or a year or even longer, or does it depend?
I think it very much depends on the person and you know, the conditions that they're coming along with, or what they're hoping to get out of lifestyle medicine approach and this integrative approach. For some people, you know, it may be fairly clear cut and you have that initial assessment. From the initial assessment, we can usually bring together a simple plan, like a personalized plan of steps that you can start to make to improve your health. We'd probably look to review that after a few weeks, just to touch base, you know, check how you're getting on with things, whether everything was understood, whether we need to, you know, tweak that slightly. So that would be after a couple of weeks to have a follow-up appointment. And then from there, it might be a longer stretch. So looking at 2 or 3 months down the line to review what changes you've made, what impact they've had on your blood pressure or your you know, your weight or any other measurable metrics, and then look at readjusting those goals. Are they still relevant? You know, could we actually set some, you know, more goals? Have you achieved those initial goals? And if things have been difficult, what have been the barriers, and how can we work around those? And often using sort of perhaps CBT based techniques or problem solving techniques to work around barriers and continue that sort of health improvement. Often we find that, you know, you might start consulting with an individual. I think all of us find this, or many of us find this at the natural practice, whatever modality we're working with. As you have that, you know, first few contacts, you start to open up, start to understand their patient a bit more and where their symptoms or disease is coming from and affecting them. And then you can start to get down to deeper layers. And actually, as that trust develops, you might identify that the reasons perhaps that they've been engaging in unhealthy lifestyle behaviors is due to stress or due to perhaps childhood experiences and the impact that that's had. And so you know, if you start to uncover, it's like peeling off layers of an onion, perhaps, if you start to uncover those deeper layers, you can continue to work together, you know, really helpfully and moving forward. But that might take some time to have kind of ongoing supportive appointments and reviews.
Thank you. And just before we close, Ruth, I understand that you're going to be starting this offer sometime in the new year. Can you say more about that?
So I mentioned briefly, I'm currently going through training with the lifestyle medicine approach and due for an exam soon, which is a little bit daunting. But then in the new year, I would then be able to offer this as a sort of a more direct approach. I've always been, you know, in my NHS work and in my hypnotherapy, which I also do, been incorporating these approaches, but I guess just formalizing that a little more. And then from the new year, I'll have the opportunity to be able to offer patients life sort of integrated medicine, focusing on lifestyle medicine appointments. So looking towards the end of January, I'll be offering these appointments where we have that initial appointment for a, you know, a really in-depth deep dive into to the conditions and symptoms that are affecting a person and where they've come from, and building that plan, and then offering that ongoing support. So I'm going to continue to offer my hypnotherapy because I think that integrates really well, particularly, you know, if there are stress or habit problems that are contributing to a patient's risks or disease. Hypnotherapy can be a really useful modality for reducing stress levels, or, you know, stopping smoking, improving diet, those sorts of things. So rather than putting myself completely in a box, I guess I'm going to continue to offer the hypnotherapy while also these appointments will be running alongside. So if patients are interested in booking appointments and looking at this approach and feel that that would be really helpful for them, they can speak to reception and get booked in. The initial appointment I would allow up to an hour for, and then follow-up appointments would be a bit shorter after that. And if hypnotherapy feels, between us, when we discuss that, and it feels like a really useful approach to take, then it might be that I see a patient for follow-up with hypnotherapy rather than the full lifestyle medicine approach, and then come back into lifestyle medicine for a review sort of 3 months later. So I'm looking to sort of take an integrated approach and really be able to use all of those different skills to support patients.
Ruth, thank you so much. I wish you really well with your exam coming up. I have no doubt you'll shine, and look out to those people who are listening. Yeah, look out for Ruth's offer of lifestyle medicine on the Natural Practice website pages. And as she said, you can get in touch via reception to book an assessment. And thank you very much, Ruth, for sharing this podcast.
Thank you very much for chatting to me this morning. It's been really lovely.
Great. And as always, if there are topics that you'd like to hear about on the podcast, or if you've got feedback or questions about this particular topic, then please do engage with us, because that's what we really enjoy. So thank you again.
Thank you.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye.